Kansas Poet Laureate Karen Miriam Goldberg hasn't been doing her job these days because she's out with a new book, though it's not a book of poetry. Needle in the Bone tells the astonishing stories of a Holocaust survivor and a former Polish resistance fighter who, as teenagers during World War II, lost everything and nearly everyone in the war, and yet summoned the courage to start new lives here in the U.S. Years later, they both got teaching positions at the University of Kansas. That's what Needle in the Bone is all about. Karen Miriam Goldberg joins us now from the studios of Kansas Public Radio over in Lawrence. And Karen, such a good time to have you. Good morning.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and good morning to you, too.
Well, Needle in the Bone is a book you wanted to write for a very long time. When did you first hear this story?
Well, I had been friends with Lou and Jane Friedman, and Lou was a Holocaust survivor who had survived 6 camps and 3 death marches.
Wow.
And I was also friends with some of their best friends, Jarek and Moira Pikulkiewicz, and Jarek had been a Polish resistance fighter in quite a high position as a teen during the war. And I thought for years it was remarkable what both men had lived through and how they had forged this friendship with each other. And probably it was about 5 or 6 years ago, I was eating blintzes with all of them. And although I hadn't planned to offer to write the book, it suddenly came out of my mouth. And before I knew it, I was on my way.
Because you hear the story, you read the promotional material for the book, and you can't help but think pretty quickly, this has got to be a great book because the story is so incredible.
Well, yeah, the story is extremely compelling. And for me, it really became a story that focused on 4 themes. You know, one is, how do survivors of intense trauma, people who've lost almost everyone and certainly the entire world they came from, how do they move forth in the world and how do they make new lives? But it also pointed me to look at kind of some of the child questions about the nature of good and evil, maybe their lifelong questions, and how something like the Holocaust could happen, as well as the myth and reality of Polish anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And most of all, how do we stand in relation to our history, and particularly to the darker points of our history?
Karen Miriam Goldberg is our guest. She is Kansas's Poet Laureate. Give us a thumbnail version of this story, Karen, because as we're talking about here, it is pretty incredible.
Yes. The book is organized in a way where it goes back and forth between each man's story until they meet. But basically, both Lou and Jarek were born in Poland, and Lou, when he was 12 years old, began his journey through 6 concentration camps, starting in one called Budzin, which was a subcamp of a camp called Majdanek, and Budzin was one of the most brutal camps. And he managed to survive against all odds. He passed away a year and a day ago, but he himself would say it was a mathematical error that he survived. It was just one close call after another. He also survived 3 extensive death marches. And by the end of the war, it was just him and his brother, and his whole extended family had been murdered in the war. Jarek was the son of... Well, he came from a family of the Polish gentry, and he always felt a great obligation, his whole family did, to step in and make the world better any which way. And when Jarek was 16, he began his own underground army, and he had 100 men under his command. He and a cousin started this. They were very serious about their training. And within a few years, his family discovered what he was doing. And he discovered that his family was extremely involved in the underground. One of his uncles was basically the equivalent of the president of the underground government. Another one was the treasurer. And both those uncles were captured, tortured, and killed. And at age 18, Jarek commanded 1,000 men in the Warsaw Uprising, which was a 2-month building to building, room to room fight between the Polish underground and the Nazis. And unfortunately, the Polish underground was devastated And Yark was then put on a POW march and went through many adventures before he ended up joining a Polish regiment of the British Army after the war and made his way to England and eventually Ireland and eventually the U.S.
Is he still with us?
Yes, Yark is still alive and well, and both men met in Lawrence, Kansas in the mid-70s and got to be good friends during a Fulbright in Poland.
Ha, huh. Boy, there's some irony for you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to be good friends, and they remain good friends throughout the rest of at least Lou's life, right?
Absolutely. Best of friends.
Hmm. What's your sense? Why did these two men survive? Because you can't help but wonder.
Well, each one of them, if they were here today, would tell you that a lot of it was simply by chance. You know, there was a moment that Yark, during the Sagan Death March or POW March, was caught stealing potatoes to keep from starvation, and he and other prisoners were lined up, guns pointed to them, seconds away from being shot when another German officer came in and called out Geneva Convention, and they weren't shot. There were moments when Lou was seconds away from certain death, when his family was rooted out of its bunker in the Warsaw Ghetto. In 1943, the train did not go to Treblinka, where most of the trains went, which was, pretty much a complete death camp. Nobody survived Treblinka. But instead, it went to a diversionary camp, to a subcamp of Majdanek. And just one little chance led to another. And when we had our book launch in Lawrence in mid-December, Jane Friedman, Lou's wife, was able to articulate many incidents where Lou almost died, but something happened. And I think both these men would really point to a combination of chance above all, and also just trying to think fast on their feet and do whatever it seemed at the moment was the best thing to do to keep living.
You know, sometimes I have trouble believing that people who are still walking on this planet endured stories like the one you're telling us, which is just a long way of saying, you know, World War II and the horrors of that war really weren't that long ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have trouble also understanding that. You know, just comprehending what it's like to carry that in you. And one thing that really crystallized in the title of the book was the term needle in the bone, because during Budzin, Lou's first camp that he was in, he was under the jurisdiction of a particularly sadistic commander of the camp who would routinely blow the whistle in the middle of the night. Everybody had to go line up in the yard and follow this commander with his eyes, and if any of the prisoners moved or didn't follow precisely, they were shot. And so one night that happened, and Lou jumped down from his bunk. You know, here he is, 12 years old, just trying to survive, and he landed on something searingly sharp. But if he had tried to reach down and pull it out of his foot, or if he had gone to the infirmary, he would have been shot in either case. So he went and stood in the yard while in excruciating pain and just kept on. And it wasn't, you know, after weeks and months, the pain dissipated. And years later, he was walking down a gravel road in New Jersey, of all places. A car came by, spun out a pebble. It hit him in his ankle. He got his ankle x-rayed, and there they found about a 2.5 to 3 inch needle embedded in the bone, and the body forms a protective shield in such a case.
Kansas poet laureate Karen Miriam Goldberg is our guest. She'll be discussing her new book, Needle in the Bone, at the Plaza Branch of the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library at 6:30 Thursday evening. More information, kclibrary.org. Well, Karen, you also are the poet laureate of Kansas, as we've talked about, and you've brought us a poem to read. It's a poem titled Supercell. Read it to us, if you would.
Okay, I'm happy to do that. And I'll just quickly say this is part of a collection of poems I'm working on about weather, and they go along with Kansas City photographer Stephen Locke's work.
Okay.
And people can see his Locke at tempestgallery.com. So, Supercell. Did you think your life was straight as this road, something that could be time-lapsed into a predictable gait? Did you ever try to map lightning, predict when the thunderhead would pause and fold in on itself? Have you pointed to a place in the clouds and said, there, just before a ghost cloud twisted briefly into form? It's all nothing, then supercell, multiple strikes through the clouds while the tips of the grass shimmer awake. From the deep blue that narrates your life comes the pouring upward of white curves and blossoms. From the dark comes the thunder, then the violet flash. From the panorama of what you think you know comes the collapse of sky falling on you right now, whether you're watching the weather or not. The world dissolves, reforms. What comes surprises, motion moving all directions simultaneously, like the losses you carry, talismans strung through your days, singing of those you've loved deep as the blue framing the storm. It rains for a moment in the field, in your heart. Then the weather stretches open its hand of life and says, here, this whole sky is forgiving.
That's Karen Miriam Goldberg reading from her poetry. That poem is titled Supercell. And again, you can hear and see Karen discussing her new book, Needle in the Bone, about the incredible lives of a Holocaust survivor and a member of the Polish resistance at 6:30 this coming Thursday evening at the Plaza branch of the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library. And Karen, so good to have you. Thanks for reading your poetry to us. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye.